Everybody else, it's my joy to invite you to open your copy of God's Perfect Precious Word to Matthew. And this time we're going to be in chapter 13. As we continue our series, Jesus' Gospel Stories. And today it's hearing, and it's the parable of the sower. It's the only parable that I can think of, I might be wrong on this, the only parable that is actually named by Jesus. The rest we give the names to. But Jesus in this passage says, hear now the parable of the sower. So we're going to start in verse 1. When you find Matthew 13, 1, I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's perfect word. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, may we hear you today. Help us, Lord, to be hearers and understanders, and Lord, make us fruitful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Every time we open up God's Word and we spend time in His Word is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to hear. The Bible says that God's Word, all Scripture is God-breathed out by God. And every time we open it, we have the opportunity to hear. Several years ago, I went through this really good little book with a group of students. And the book was called, How to Walk into Church. I thought it was a very creative title. How to walk into church. You might ask, what is it about? It's about how to walk into church. You might think, that's pretty obvious. You open the doors, you go in. But if you think about, even today as you came, what was your mental state coming into church? What expectations did you bring with you coming into this building? For some, it might be, you've had a really hard week and you're here like, yes, I get to worship. Others might be, oh, it could be 100 different things. Well, someone could write a book, How to Hear. How to hear God's Word. How to listen. There's all kinds of books out there for preachers on how to preach. Show me the shelf full of books on how to hear a sermon. But that's our topic today. Well, maybe a little bit of both. How do we respond? We're not all opening up the Bible the same way. Some people might be coming to a sermon thinking, well, this is what I do on Sunday mornings. It starts around 10:15, or 10:20, it depends on how far Nathan goes, you know. Yeah. When we get going, and then there's only an allotted amount of time, and then, preacher, thou shalt not go past that allotted amount of time, but it's part of the routine. It's a routine thing of the week. This is what we do. It's just habitual. Or others might be listening for something catchy. Something they can write down and that can be the phrase, the sentence that we go away with today. Something quotable, perhaps. Others may come wanting to be encouraged. are wanting to be inspired. But are you looking to hear from God? Do you want to hear what He has to say? You know, it becomes extra challenging sometimes when the passage is more familiar. Maybe if I'm opening up the Bible today we're going to hear from Nahum chapter 16. There is no such thing. But you'd be like, I've never heard from that. All right, let's hear. What is this sermon going to be? But the parable of the sower, I've heard that so many times. Some of you. I never want to assume. This is a great place for people to begin exploring the Bible. There could, anytime we gather, be somebody who is in this building. This is your very first time ever in any building associated with Christianity. And if that's you, I love that. I love it that you're here. This is exactly where I would choose for you to be. But others of you, you may have been in the church for decades upon decades. And you may have heard about the parable of the sower many times. It may be very familiar territory. The more familiar it is, the easier it is for us to think, I've heard it before. I'm just going to go through the exercise of hearing instead of coming with saying, okay, God, what would you have me hear today? And it doesn't have to be new. I don't always have to hear something new. It can be something I've heard 100 times, but let me hear it, not just let it wash over my ears. So let's come and actually hear. And today it's an interesting passage for that because it is, as some people have said, a parable on parables. It is the parable that launches the parables of Matthew 13, which is the chapter I expect to be the most parable-packed. There's 7 parables in this one chapter, but it opens up with this one. And it is a parable that is continually being played out. It's being verified what Jesus taught every time a sermon is preached. Every time there's a variety of responses that could happen. Every opportunity, every time we come to God's Word is an opportunity to hear. So, even though He said it at the end of the parable, we just read the words, let me say them again. He who has ears, let him hear. There's four, some people would call this the parable of the soils. I've been guilty of trying to rename this before, but Jesus named it the parable of the sower, okay? So, but there's four. Are there four conditions? You heard that, right? Some of you are more agricultural than others. Some of you have gardens at home, but all of us should be able to relate to this. There's four things. The sower goes out to sow. Here, behold, is how it begins. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell first along the path. Along the path, you could picture it. You could picture it happening. There's the seeds. There they are. And the birds, they come. They eat them. There's just no chance. It's just the path. Others, second soil, other seeds fell on rocky ground where there did not have much soil. Some of you, this might describe some of the land around your home. At least it does near me in Harrodsburg. There's a place we look behind our house where it just gets kind of brown because there's one area of exposed rock. If you try to put a sign, try to put a VBS sign or something in the ground out here, just opposite where the sign for the church is. Let me put the stake here. Clunk. Nope. Here. Clunk. There's just not much soil. Well, this is what happened here. Not much soil. The plants did have enough that they could spring up. They did spring up. But when July, Kentucky July came, they're scorched. They have no root. They wither away. Other seeds fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. And some seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. How many conditions did I just lay out? 4. All right, what if I told you you cannot divide it in 4, you have to divide it in 2. And if you're writing, making notes, like you want to think, title the first part, the first move here, like 2 results. Yeah, there's 4 conditions, but how many results? 2. What are they? Fruit and no fruit. There's a harvest, there's grain, or there's no grain. Learn, listen, and learn. There are many ways. There's more than one way to be unfruitful. Watch out. But here's the question. Do you desire to be fruitful? I don't want to just assume that that's what you're yearning for. I don't know what you're aiming at in life. Let me ask you, do you want to bear fruit? If fruit is purpose, those words go very, very much together. I planted some trees in my yard, even though I haven't lived there very long. I already have, there's an apple tree, and there's a purpose to that apple tree. And it's not just leaves. I'm going to be looking for something eventually, not this year yet, but from that tree. Fruit. When you hear fruit, think, God has a purpose for my life. Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want your life to mean something in the grand eternal story of the world? When all the things that matter play out in the eyes of God, do you want your life to bear fruit? I hope the answer in your heart and mind is yes, I want to bear fruit. That's a starting place. If it's not, oh, I don't know what to do. But if you're able to say, yes, I want my life to be fruitful, my suggestion is, well, why don't you ask God for that? But God's also giving here some help to us. I already told you there's more than one way to be unfruitful. One of those ways is that, and even as I go to say this, don't just think, okay, we're going to divide up and categorize people. I think all of us, even people with very fruitful lives, I hope I'm describing you, can identify with these experiences. You have moments in your life where it does feel like you read or you heard and it just didn't stick. Where did the truth go? I just didn't remember it. So there was that with the path. And I'm just going to go ahead and jump down. We get in our text. Our text today goes all the way through verse 23. But Jesus actually explains this. And he says this. He says, as for that which was on the path, here's what happened. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Pray and ask God. Plant your word. In fact, there's a song that I'm hoping, we actually read the lyrics together, I think my first sermon here. And hopefully we can get, Nathan will, maybe one of the songs he'll be teaching us. But it says, plant your word down deep in us. Speak, O Lord. We want to hear. Plant your word in us. Ask Him for that. As for that which was sown on rocky ground, well, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, sounds great. This person heard the word. It made them happy. They received it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution on account of the word happens, immediately he falls away. So that could be a way to be unfruitful. It doesn't all look like I'm just not paying attention. You might hear it, yes, but I don't want to, not if it's at a cost. Not if this is going to be difficult. I don't know, that's too hard. And short circuit. There's no fruit. And then there's the other, which is the choking. As for that which was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. See, there's other things that get in the way. Like I said, even those of us with fruitful lives, we can identify. I hope if I'm describing you can identify from time to time with, yeah, there's a temptation. I have to say to myself, that's not important. This is what matters. Has no eternal value. This is what is eternally valuable. And a refocus. So God, refocus our hearts today. But the emphasis here is not don't. It's do. Well, what about the good soil? What can we say about this? This is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. A fruitful life comes through hearing and understanding, receiving. And I encourage you to pray, call out for that. Where do you get your sense of whatever, however you want to finish that sentence? You young people, you're trying to decide, this is the way I should go about finding that special person that I spend the rest of my life with. Where do you get the way that ought to be? How ought somebody go about that? Let me give you a suggestion. Get it from the Word. Hear and understand. How do I go about navigating, getting ahead, or charting a life that would be something that would be a successful life? Well, you could get lots of advice from lots of different places. Hear from Him. Hear. Let the Word shape you. Hear it? Like, we come to God's Word. If we're coming as hearers, we're coming saying, teach me, guide me, shape me. I want to be formed by your word. Last week we looked at a parable of a guy. I mean, it wasn't a parable. The setup for the parable was a guy who was putting Jesus to the test. He was down upon Jesus. He had a high view of his own mind. He wasn't ready to be shaped by Christ's words. But we come, we need to come, we must come saying, God, whatever is in your word, I'm going to be transformed by that. I need my mistakes to be fixed, my errors. I don't think clearly enough. Your word is perfect. So you hear, you receive it, and you understand it. Now, the first part, two results, fruit or no fruit. As we move from verse 9 to verse 10, I want you to notice that there's a shift in audience. Verse 10 says, then the disciples came and said to him. Remember who he was speaking to so far? The passage that I read for you as you were standing, he was speaking to the crowds. So many crowds. This was a beach. Those of you beach people in the room, you can remember this story happened at the beach. The crowd, you've been to a crowded beach? I don't know if you've been to as crowded a beach as I've been to. We went to Clearwater once on 4th of July because my parents lived down there. And I have never, I mean, you might not notice it was a beach because all you saw was people. It was so packed. Well, I just pictured this. You picture the shore of the sea there. And there's the people, so many people. He actually gets in a boat, and he's out, and he's teaching from a boat. And here's the sloped ground, kind of a neat setting. But that's the crowd in which he shares about the sower that goes out to sow, and this is what happens. Now we're with a different audience. Now it's the disciples with Jesus, and they have a question for him. And they ask him this. Why do you speak to them in miracles? And Jesus answered them, verse 11, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Wow. So in this passage, you and I get to lean in and listen to private coaching of Jesus with his disciples. This is not the address to the crowds now. This is Jesus with his guys. And praise the Lord, Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote it down for us so we get to spy on this conversation. We get to listen in. And we get to hear what it says, secrets or mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, their question they asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Is interesting, because if you just walked around and you talked to different people and you say, why did Jesus teach in parables? The typical answer people might share would be because other stories that help us remember, they help us learn. It's things relating to things that we know, like seeds or sheep or yeast or, you know, different things that we know and help. It helps us learn. And that is all true for those who understand. But it's interesting, that's not Jesus' answer here. He doesn't say, well, so that you can better understand and learn. He's saying something. He's like, to you it's been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. What? This is hard for people sometimes to hear. Like, isn't Jesus' purpose to be a teacher of truth? It sounds like he's saying that part of what's going on is the hiding of truth. How do I understand this? Actually, last week's parable, the parable with the Good Samaritan, it came right after that exchange with this lawyer that we heard last week. It came right after Jesus prayed a prayer where he lifted his eyes up to heaven. He said, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things. I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to babes. And here this theme is as well. There's actually the parables are there. It does have a purpose of both hiding, and yet if you understand it with the explanation which we're given through the gift of the book of Matthew, the gift of this Holy Scripture, we get the inside. You're in the disciples' side of this and be able to get the scoop on what Jesus is talking about. So for you, it's not left at this riddle of, oh, there's a sower. What is he talking about? There's soils. You get the explanation. I just read it to you. But why? Why would he hide in that way? What is glorifying to God about that? Verse 12. Let's just press through this. For to the one who has, more will be given. But he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear. And with their eyes, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. So you got to look back to Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet. Who is he a prophet? Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to people who had the Old Testament scriptures. They had been entrusted with the laws of God and the prophets. They had truth directly revealed by God to them. And what were they doing with that truth? Closing their eyes, is what it says. Their eyes they have closed. This is not hiding. Listen, this is not hiding from people who are wanting to hear from the Lord, who are seeking truth from God. This is hiding from people who have closed their ears to the truth, closed their eyes to the truth. They're resisting. And so Jesus teaches in a way that masterfully His disciples are learning more and getting to see an abundance of truth in the parables, and yet some people don't understand what He's talking about. And it fits with Jesus' own prayer, "Thank you for hiding from the wise and intelligent, but revealing to babes." So let's be like babes, we people who understand, I don't have all of life figured out. I need truth from the Lord. I'm not looking down on His Word. I want to learn from Him. No one like that. No one seeking truth from God has ever had God say, "Nope, you're not going to have anything here." No, God loves to show truth to those. But there is a timeline. And the main point here to this text here is not, hey, these other people, they don't understand. These other people, they don't understand. That's not the main thrust. There's actually a redirection that is what we need to see here, which happened in verse 16 and 17. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." See, there is a timeline. And you and I, we get to talk about these things after Jesus came and lived His perfect life and taught these parables, and they've been recorded for us. And after the completion of 66 wonderful books fitting together in the perfect Word of God, we get to see with the perspective of having see how God has already fulfilling His promises in building His church as there are people gathered all over this world worshiping Him right now. And we get to listen to these things and talk about these things even as we are still in the age of the church awaiting the second coming of Jesus Christ. You and I don't want to be the guy that is too comparative here saying, but oh, I don't envy those prophets from of old that lived before all of these. They couldn't talk about, Isaiah could not talk with anybody about the parable of the sower because it hadn't happened yet. But we get to. I want you to see and actually feel and cherish the fact that you have sight, that you see and that you hear. And even our youngest ones in the room can thank God for the amount of God's Word that they do understand. Every bit. If you've got things that you're wrestling with in the Bible, welcome to the club. The Bible's deep. There's none of us have every single thing worked out in all the depths. Oh, we've understood every single facet of every single verse. That's none of us. But do you understand some things? Do you get the message of the gospel, and have you now thanked God for what He has shown you? Teach me, guide me, shape me, Lord, and thank you for doing it. Celebrate, have joy in what He's doing in your life. Now, I say this, and it just seems like the case that with the parables and all kinds of the Scripture, we tend to hear about them or hear them all very individualistically. We think about this and think, my personal response to God's Word, am I distracted by other things and being choked out? Or am I building roots? Or am I, as a single individual, retaining what's being spoken? Am I hearing and understanding? But I am preaching to a church family. And you all are together, we are together in life. And there's a reason why we call our Bible fellowship groups Bible fellowship groups. And there's a function in our lives with each other that's meant to help each one of us, each and every one of us, to retain and remember and understand. You know how this works. You have depths of understanding in discussions that will happen this week on this parable, not necessarily here in the sermon, but in the discussions that will happen in different Bible fellowship groups, somebody's going to think, I never thought about it like that. Somebody's going to share a perspective of how this passage helps them, and through God helping them, it's going to help somebody else in their life through His Word. That's how it works. Side note, if you don't have a Bible fellowship group, we would love to help you find a Bible fellowship group. There's 9 to choose from. Great opportunities to talk together about God's Word as we all together say, teach us, Lord. We come around His Word and we encourage one another. That encouragement is also very important because any one of us, if we're isolated and alone, without a church family, without a fellowship group, it's so much easier to be distracted by the other things of the world. But when we have a rhythm where we get together with people and we're talking about truths of God's Word and what it means to live for Him, and you're hearing of what God's doing and the testimonies of your brothers and sisters, it reorients you on what matters and helps you protect you from the weeds and the thorns that threaten your fruitfulness. Or depth. A church family around you helps you to navigate Kentucky July. When things get hard, you've got your faith and your confidence in God's Word, but you also have your brothers and your sisters around you and their faith and their confidence in God. And together we navigate through the hard times. So don't just hear this as an individual. 2 results, 2 audiences, and you're the ones who get to see and hear and seek after that. And then he says, hear then the parable of the sower. You might be thinking, what's Pastor Todd going to do with this now? He already kind of skipped ahead. He told us these verses as he was talking the first time through. 2 results, 2 audiences. Is he going to do though? Yes, I am. 2 lenses. You can write it down. 2 lenses. I want to draw a parallel from last week's parable, the Good Samaritan. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's interesting because when you start, if you've never heard it before, you hear about this guy who's traveling and he's beaten and robbed and left half dead. And your heart should be going out to this guy. You're identifying with this guy. But by the end of the parable, this other character who just, he does 9 things helping this guy, just amazing. Jesus ends the parable saying, you go and do likewise. So he's wanting us to now think about the other guy. So there's 2. If I ask you, who should you identify with in the parable of the Good Samaritan? You should identify with the guy beaten and robbed, but you should also learn from and have this connection with the Good Samaritan too, right? Okay, let me ask you this. In this parable, with whom, the parable of the sower, with whom or with what should you identify? With whom or with what should you identify in this parable? If you're thinking, what kind of dirt am I? That's actually a good way to approach that parable. How are you responding to the word that's being sown? If you're not thinking like that, well, you're missing the huge thing here. But we had 2 audiences, remember? When he gives the explanation, he's not talking to the whole crowd. Who is he talking to? His disciples. Who are they? Matthew, Peter, James, John. What is he raising them up to do? What is he coaching them for? Fruitfulness. He said to some of them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Okay, with that in mind, is there anybody else we should, or anything else we should identify with in this parable? The sower. Of course, the sower. And once you see, okay, yes, he's teaching them the secrets of the kingdom of God. What does Jesus want Peter and Andrew to remember and latch onto? Yes, they need to hear. Aren't we all, if we're Christians, receivers of God's word? Yes. How do you receive it? That's what we've been talking about. But aren't we all also, as Christians, meant to be spreaders of God's word? And isn't a synonym for spread sowing? You need to identify with the sower here. And I want you to hear through a disciple maker's lens this same parable. I'm going to read it again. I want you to hear. I want you to think. I'm going to feed you some questions you can think on even as I read it. What is Jesus teaching these guys and us that we should expect? Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. What is Jesus coaching his disciples and us to expect if we are speakers of his word? You might say, well, Pastor Todd, you're a speaker of his word. You're preaching. I'm not a preacher. Oh, but we have people all across this room who are encouragers, who encourage with the scripture, who teach children. If you are a parent, you are a teacher. Who influence lives in different ways. You are a spreader of the word in different ways. And what should you expect? Part of what Jesus is saying here to his guys, and we have to get this in our minds and hearts, is that you should expect discouragement. Don't be surprised. I have known so many people who, and it's a good thing, their heart loves their friends. They love the people that they're investing their life into. They're trying to share God's word, and they feel like they're terribly failing because they don't see 100% of what they want to see. They feel like somehow they're failing because every person they've shared the gospel with isn't believing. That the people that they so long to see this beautiful testimony come out of, it hasn't happened. And I just want to put this forth before you. Did Jesus ever have people who seem to just not get it? Yes. Did Jesus ever have people who seemed to respond? It seemed like it was going well, but then when things got hard, they turned away. Did it ever happen to him? It's happened so much. At one point in John chapter 6, he turned to his disciples and said, "Are you going to go too?" And Peter wisely said, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Did Jesus ever have people who seemed to be coming to him and yet They had other cares for other things that were more precious to them than His kingdom. Think the rich young ruler. How many others? In other words, I just want you to have expectations that are tuned and right to recognize, do you think you should be a better evangelist than Jesus? It is heartbreaking. I think it was heartbreaking for Christ as well. But Jesus teaches us to expect it. But that's not all. If that was all, it would be a sad sermon. No, it's not all. The parable doesn't land there. Where does the parable land? Those on good soil, which is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. Varied results, but good, good, and good. There will be a harvest. It's a promise to you from Jesus Christ. If you sow His word, for it all comes, this is not a different topic. This is together with the topic of hearing His word. You receive it, you say, plant it deep within me, teach me, shape me, and you sow it. Yeah, maybe heartache, yes, frustration, yeah, but then there's harvest. And harvest is 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's reproduction, people. And I just want to inspire you with this. You can trust, because this is actually where the parables go in the book of Mark. It goes from this to this to this, and you see where Mark's taking it. And I'm just going to use that for our sermon today as well. You can trust the Holy Spirit to do His work, and trust Him plus time, the working of God's Word and His Spirit and time until He comes. Trust Him with the harvest. You are not the Lord of the harvest, but He is, and you can trust Him. And it is not preacher overstatement at all to say that if the Lord tarries, well, let's just think about what can happen. Let me just use a biological example. I have reproduced myself. They're over there. If you come back in 200 years, if the Lord tarries, and that process continues, how many descendants will there be? How many people will have their existence somehow connected with me, though they won't know who I am? Hear it? It is not preacher overspeak to say that if the Lord tarries, what God does through your life as a listener of God's Word and as a speaker of God's Word could result in hundreds loving and enjoying the good news of Jesus Christ forever in eternity. Do you want your life to be fruitful? There's a way that happens. Hearing, understanding, and as you sow, people hearing and understanding. My prayer is that God would make us a people who hears His word, a people who are fruitful for Him, for His glory, for His name's sake. Let's go together to Him in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, thank You, God, for our church family, for the opportunities You give us. I thank You for Awana Clubs happening this year with kids and Your Word, Your Word. Would You plant it deep in their hearts? Would You make it fruitful? Would You make us a people that are used by You for a great harvest? Thank You for giving us sight Thank you for letting us hear. Thank you for sharing with us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Lord, may they play out for your glory here in this place and spread from here, even as it's spreading from many other places to the ends of the earth. How we would love to see you send out people from here to be the among the team to first introduce a whole people group to your good news, however you want to do it. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to make our lives fruitful with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.